Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is Hard to Kill an Hour. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you in advance for killing some time with us. I'm Marcus Bronzy, and today I'm joined by a good mate of mine, good friend of the show, Gadgets Boy, aka Tommy. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm nice, man.
Thanks,
I'm very, very nice.
Again, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And you know what? It's been a while. Obviously, oh, it's the elephant in the room, innit? Coronavirus, elephant in the world. Like, yeah, we've not been able to catch up as much, really. So whereas we usually would have caught up a few times over the last year, I feel like I've seen you once. Like the other day I saw you, that was it.
Yeah, that was random as well, right?
Yeah, man, absolutely random. Like, Tommy, I got a really nice cool car, can I show it to you? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Actually, you know what? We can talk about that as our killer bit as well, actually. So you got your hands on the Ford Mach-E.
Yeah, that's it. And before we get into it though, how do you say Mach-E? Because you say it as Mach-E.
Mach-E.
Yeah. But I say Mach-E,
so Mach-E.
And then sometimes I slip and I say Mach-E. So I'm just like, how are you meant to say it?
I think, do you know what? I was a bit baffled by it, but it's Mach, innit? M-A-C-H, so it's Mach, like the speed, Mach, like Mach 3. Was there a Mach 3 razor? There was, innit? There was a Mach 3 from Gillette.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be like speed. So I think you say Mach.
As long as people know what you're saying, it's fine.
Mach-E.
But yeah, before the video, I was like, am I saying this right? But anyway, I ended up going with Mach-E throughout the whole video.
Yeah, you're winning, man. You're winning. What was your experience with it? I spoke about it quite a bit on last week's show, but it'd be interesting to hear what your kind of vibe was about it.
I don't know. I think it's one of those cars that's like, it's like a last thought, the whole package. I think when I saw it at the launch event last year, maybe, or the year before, I can't even remember now. Everything's all a blur. I was excited about it because I saw the, you know, like the door entry system. I saw the big display inside it. But as you do at launch events, your thought about a product is very much clouded by the event and the environment and all the, you know, glamorizing of it, all the lights and stuff. But spending more time with it, I was like, even when when you brought the one round to show me, I was still like, oh, this is nice. But sat in it and driving it around myself, I was left feeling like this is the last thought. Like there's so much mishmash of everything in there. Like the door entry thing was cool with the button when you press it, there's no door handle, but the keypad entry thing is a bit useless because here in the UK, for example, and I'm assuming most out of Europe as well will be the same, mostly in Europe would be the same as well, is the fact that doesn't actually, like your insurance company won't pay attention to that. They don't take that into consideration at all. So if
really?
You use it and someone breaks into your car, that's on you. And I don't even know how legal they are as well in terms of using them in this part of the world. And then you get in the car, it's just full of like cheap plastic and like you're thinking this is a £40,000 electric car that's meant to feel premium from Ford. But then again, I can't remember the last time I drove a Ford that was like, okay, this is super premium. They're very good at using their plastics and stuff like that inside of the car. So like then you look at the main display in the middle, like a big 15-inch display. It's like, it's nice to have a big display. I don't mind it at all, but it just looks slapped in the middle. And then the user interface doesn't really take into account what the display is. So the user experience is a bit off. You load some applications and they don't really fill the screen properly. And even when you press the fill the screen, expand screen button, then it doesn't really work on top of what's below it sometimes. And then you go to the instrument cluster, you see that the steering wheel is like nearly covering the speedometer, and then you're thinking, have they just slapped that on there at the last minute, or what was the thought process behind this? And then you look at the key as well. The key looks like a key from a Ford Mondeo or Fiesta key fob. And if you're going to take off the Ford branding off the whole car, you might as well give it a new key as well. Like, change the key fob. I know it's something tiny, but think about it. Most people that spend that sort of money, they want to show off.
Do you think that could have been an opportunity for something cool there? They could have done something cool with that.
They don't even have to overdo it. I mean, look at Tesla. It's just a card entry that looks proper slick. Like, I'd like to put it on my table and take a picture of that and put it on Instagram stories just to flex. But I'm not flexing with a Ford Marquee key fob. It just looks wrong in every way. That's like, it's like, it must be the last thought. Like, you got Tesla's one, you got Polestar, even Polestar of all car makers, their key fobs still look, it's not that nice, but it's updated, it's new, you know, it goes with the whole key fob design language that you see around these days. But yeah, that was my thought with it. And then it's not fast, it's sluggish. For an electric car, it should be like quick. You should be able to feel that push. The torque is not all there. And then the tires as well, they're not low profile. So you tend to bounce a lot when you go over speed bumps, like bigger, longer bumps. Like if you go over a slopey road or something, as you go over the slope, the hill, and you go back down, you feel the whole car just bounces. And when you go around corners, you feel the weight just shift because it's such a heavy car. And if you go over potholes as well, it's just so hard, such a hard ride. But yeah, I think for me, it's a no. Like I wouldn't spend money on it.
So a lot of work to be done there then, yeah?
A lot of work to be done to it. I get that this is their first attempt properly, that is. But yeah, they need to take on board a lot of pointers and do some tweaking.
Okay then, all right.
I believe the range on it as well is like on par with like the Polestar 2, but I'd rather go to Polestar. Unless you absolutely need a big car a big car with big space in it.
Yeah, right across the board on electric vehicles, I think there needs to just be a general push of mileage. Do you know what I mean? I want to start seeing 600 plus real life mileage on a full charge, 100%.
On the contrary to that, for me though, I think they need to work on fast charge network. Because
of course,
if my car comes with 200 miles on the range, that's more than enough to get me to, I don't know. We went to Isle of Wight the other day. Like, that will get me to the Isle of Wight easily.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, I can plug it in for like, if it charges up in 20 minutes, that's 20 minutes essential break I'd need to take anyway. Mm-hmm. So pull up 20 minutes, quick charge, get food, get some drink, go to the toilet, back in the car, it's fully charged. I've got another 200 miles, I can carry on. So for me, having 600 miles is not even all that. Like, think about it. Internal combustion engine cars, a lot of them do, I don't know,
450, 500,
they do that sort of mileage, but you still top up your fuel anyway. But you don't think about it because you know for sure you're going to find a filling station kind of thing. But yeah, if they can take the same model for electric cars, making it that people know for sure they'll find a fast charge electric charge station, then Bob's your uncle.
Nice one. Speaking of cars, I also had to go on the Audi Q2 as well, which was, it's like their SUV crossover with kind of, I don't know, when I try and place it, I kind of tell people that it's like, imagine an A3 on stilts, basically, or an A1 on stilts. That's what they're kind of going for at the moment. Did you ever drive on that as well recently, the Q2?
Yeah. So I drove it probably last month, I think.
Yeah.
And it's one of those cars where I like Audis, and I'm biased with Audi cars, just to put it up front. But the first time I drove the Audi Q2, I thought, oh, this is excellent. It's like a compact version of a Q3, Q4, I think. Yeah. So it's kind of small, but not too small that you don't have enough space in it. But you still get enough leg room, you get enough headroom, like boot space is nice. Mm. But the tech inside is just outdated. Like if you've driven any Audi that's come out in the last, say, 6 months, 6 to 8 months, you know that you get a new infotainment system, new instrument cluster, etc. Like, this doesn't feel like a new car. Like, I'm trying to think of what they've, apart from the exterior, they've done the facelift design job on the exterior, which looks really nice. But when you get in, it just feels like another Audi Q2 from the first one I drove a year or two ago. So I feel like that's the only letdown for the car for me. But otherwise, it feels nice. It's still a nice car.
Do you know what? The one I had was, I think we had the same colour, it was a light blue. I can't remember where the Audi blue is.
Yeah. I can't remember the official name for that blue.
But yeah, and it was a bit of a head turner, I can't lie. Like, it wasn't like a neck breaker, should we say? But a few people were like, "Oh, that's nice." Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
For a car of that size, I suppose I kind of see it for somebody who either travels into the city quite a bit or lives in like an area that isn't like pure countryside, because it's parkable in smaller parking spaces, but you also got a little bit of size in it as well. I agree with you. Like, the infotainment system does need a bit of a refresh to bring it up to date with everything. Maybe, and I don't know where it would. I don't know the answer to this question, Tommy. But maybe the screen needs to move somewhere different. Like, you know, the screen looks like it pops up. For me, I don't know. I don't know if it needs to go somewhere else.
Yeah, it does need to go. It needs to like blend in better than where it is, because I hate how it sticks up and it doesn't go back down.
Yeah.
And then also, if they can just put Apple CarPlay in there or Android Auto, that's enough for now for me. Yeah, because if I plug that in, it brings it up to date a little bit.
Yeah.
Start using it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a strange one.
Yeah, that's the one. Actually, I'll be honest, the one I was in did have Apple CarPlay, actually. So they've popped it into that model now. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's so nice. So we're all good. Yeah. But you know what? I've got to be honest, though. The only thing like that I was thinking when I gave it back was just like, I need to be in the SQ2 now. I need a ruder version of this. That's the only thing. It's nice, but I was like, nah, this potentially could be very naughty. Do you know what I mean? So I've been eyeing it up. And I might try and try that out too, because I'm the kind of guy where I don't necessarily just want a car for pure speed. But when I was in it, I was like, oh, if they give this the little Quattro vibe, this could be quite a naughty one.
Have you seen the RSQ3?
I've seen the RSQ3. That looks absolutely filthy. Yeah, that looks naughty.
In lime green. I don't know the official colour for that again. Excuse me there. But yeah, it's... Oh.
Yeah.
There's a guy that... There's one, like, literally a couple of doors down, and the guy parks it on the weekends. I think it might be someone visiting or something. I don't know. But, boy.
When it starts up, how does it sound? It must sound normal.
Depends if you're starting cold or hot. If you're starting the engine cold, it just sounds like proper, like, it sounds good. It sounds good.
Yeah, man. So yeah, like the SQ2, I think it's cheekily tuned and nice. I feel like it's an affordable version of the RSQ3. Do you know what I mean? That, like, the RSQ3 just looks like it's naughty, man. It's got that high performance feel to it. So maybe I should eye that up as well. But honestly, like, SQ2, you know, I was thinking that could be a nice little, if you want a little bit of a rude boy car for a little drive around, that could be the one. Anyway, enough about car stuff. I had a go on a pair of headphones. You probably saw me banging on about them on Instagram recently, Tommy, some Turtle Beach ones. Now, I'm really funny with headphones. Like, I try a lot of headphones, but I'll be honest, I always go back to the same ones. So whether that be like I'm doing podcasting, I'll always end up with my Sennheisers. If I'm using like day-to-day stuff headphones, I'll always use the AirPod 2s for like loads of specific reasons, not just how they sound and stuff. So I'm really like up for trying new headphones, but I'll probably always end up going back to the same things. And with gaming, I had these Turtle Beach ones called Elite Atlas. I don't think, they are still on sale, but they're like not known as like the most popular pair of headphones for Turtle Beach or headphones out there. But you know, when you just like what you like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, it could be like coffee, you know, you just like the kind of coffee that you like, you know.
Yeah.
Someone gives you so much, I'm like, oh, that's nice. But then you go back to drinking your coffee. So I got
the same as the Stealth, because I'm looking at your tweets. It's a Stealth 700 Gen 2, that one, right?
Yeah. So there, I got sent those and I was like, okay, cool. Here's another pair of headphones to try. And we'll see how they go. Wow. And
that's for PS or Xbox?
For PlayStation. But do you know what I think though? I need to double check. I think that these are I think with the design now, you could plug in the same USB dongle into an Xbox and it would read it, you know. I need to try it. I will try that actually, and I'll let you know if you click the link in the show description, because I have a feeling that you can get away with using it in other environments. But yeah, you got a little dongle on it that you plug into your PlayStation, the headphones go over your head. So they're truly wireless and they work with your gaming. And when I was playing COD, Tommy, I'll be honest with you, bro, it sounded a lot better, man. Long story short, it just sounded like a real professional pair of headphones. Like, Call of Duty is a game now where you need headphones to play properly if you're going to be in with a competing chance, because you need to hear people creep into your left and your right. Mm-hmm. You need to hear where gunshots are coming from. And these sounded great. So that's for starters, they just sounded good. I was like, cool, they sound good. They got a cool little mic that pops out from the headset. You fold it down, you can talk. If you fold it halfway up, it mutes. That's cool. That's good. They sound really, really good. So that's basically where I thought, all right, these are decent. Another thing that I saw in them is you actually can press a button on them where it kind of does, it compresses the sound. So they call it super hearing mode or whatever, but I was just like, I call it Call of Duty mode, man. Basically it super compresses the sound so you can hear people to your left and your right. And it's kind of intense. It's not a setting that I'd like to leave it on, but it's cool. It's interesting. And here's what I really like about these. Yeah. This is, I don't even know if they designed this deliberately, but I can connect my phone to these to set it up. Like you can mess with the settings, the EQ and whatever. And what I realized is I was playing a game and my phone rang and I heard it through the headphones and I answered the phone call and started having a conversation and I could still hear the audio from COD whilst I was having a chat on my phone. I don't know whether they designed that, but I realized that you could have your phone hooked up to these, watch a YouTube video whilst you're playing a computer game at the same time, or play music that you want to listen to whilst you're driving around playing a game or something. Sick.
Interesting. Is that distracting though? Or is it kind of nicely faded?
It could be. So like when the phone rings, the sound dips down in the game, answer it, and the sound's in the background, and then you can carry on playing. And then when you cut it off, it comes up again. Yeah, of course, answering a phone call can be distracting, so I could disconnect it. But I just thought, yeah. Wow, okay, not bad.
And the people in the game, can they hear your phone call?
No, I double checked that. I was worried. I was like, fuck. I was like, no.
You're trying to sweet talk wifey while you're gaming, and people like, is this moist guy?
Yeah, baby, just one more game. Cut it off. Yeah, I was just talking to my guy to tell her that I had to play a few more games and, you know, level up my gun.
You should do that as a sketch.
Yeah, you know, we should do that, man. But yeah, no, that in short, bro, like honestly, I'm always go back to the same headphones. I always go back to my Elite Atlas Pros, and I've still got them next to me in case I need to, but These Turtle Beach, these Gen 2 700s, honestly, I've tried headphones before and said, yeah, they're all right. These are the ones that I think could move me forward. These could be the ones I get stuck on for a little while, bro. Nice.
You know what though? I'm probably the anomaly. Like I actually hate playing Call of Duty with headphones on.
Really?
Unless I'm playing Warzone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like I actually prefer playing with no audio, no sound. I don't want to hear anything.
Yeah. So you just want to hear like tunes in the background as you're running around.
So like I play better when I can't hear the sound from the actual game because I can. Wow. I know the maps.
Yeah.
So I know people's habits in the maps and stuff.
Yeah.
And I get into like a routine. As soon as I go on, I know where to run to straight away. I know. Sick. The direction I'm going, I know where the danger zones are. If people are going to come through the left door, past the little bridge on one of the maps, for example, I know where they're going to come from or where people hide.
Nice.
So for me, I just zone out and go to those areas and do what I need to do.
Nice.
Anyway, well, in Black Ops anyway, Cold War.
Yeah. Black Ops. All right, cool. I need to find you when I'm online. When I'm trying to level up my guns, I need to be playing with you.
I haven't played with you online.
Yeah. We'll do that, man. We'll do that. I'm not amazing, but I can get down with it. Warzone's interesting. I think Warzone definitely need headphones for. I'm all right. I'm just all right. I never said I'm that good.
You're one of those people that play FIFA, innit? They go, oh yeah, no, I'm all right. I haven't played in like years, man. And then they get on and they beat you like 5-0, but they still sat there going, oh man, it's been a while, man. You're like, yeah, shut up.
Do you know how you know when somebody gets on and then they're like, 1 second, and they start going into the advanced settings?
Oh, they start changing the settings.
And you're like,
I think that's tactics though, most of the time.
I do
it to make people think I'm good, but I'm not.
Yeah. So they're just moving around numbers, willy-nilly, not knowing what they're doing.
I'm putting the next player in, but really and truly, it makes no difference to my style of play.
That'd be jokes, man. But yeah, man, that's those Turtle Beach 700 Gen 2s.
Nice.
If I'm honest, bro, like, I'm trying to find fault. All right, here's a fault in them. Because it's got new tech in it for the fold-down mic, I don't think they're as durable. Like, because, you can get up and drop headphones or knock them around. Because it's got this new tech in it, I think if you dropped it on the mic, the mic could snap off, whereas on the Atlas Elites, it's like this bendy, you know, that bendy wire material. You can't really, you know, I could throw them in a rucksack and walk to my friend's house or dash them on the floor. Not that I would. And they'll be right. These, I can't see myself throwing them on the floor and then being all right. So yeah, you've got to be a bit more careful with them. Do you know what I mean?
Think, yeah. They seem reasonably priced as well. £130 sounds about right for gaming headsets, to be honest.
Yeah, man.
Turtle Beach are known for, like, they're probably one of the best, if not the best, when it comes to gaming headsets.
100%, man. Speaking of sound, actually, you got a microphone that you're using today. Sounded pretty nice.
Yeah, like I've got this Shure MV7 podcast microphone actually for a while. And the aim of it is, it's on a pricey side. It's £259 to buy. And it got sent to me a while ago and I was hoping that I'd start some sort of podcast with John, but we just haven't been able to figure out how to A, schedule, B, how to record remotely without any issues. But yeah, I think again, we're so busy that we just, I don't know how that would work. But anyway, the mic itself is it's a dynamic mic and it's got, you can use USB or XLR. So depending on what your connection settings is. Like I've got Scarlett 2 to i2, which I could hook it up to if I want to, for example. And you get a really good audio from that as well, because that's like your main box that does all the digital conversions and whatnot. But yeah, but otherwise it's a plug and play. And on the mic itself, you got like a touch control where you can easily adjust the output and the input as well. But one thing I really like about it though is it comes with the software that you can use to, it's called Motive, Shure Plus Motive. And basically on there, you can do presets, you can mute your mic, you can mix the monitor and the playback as well. So right now I can hear you from my headphones that I've plugged into the mic itself.
Nice.
And I can hear myself, so I can sort of monitor level. You can change the mic position as well, so if you're near or far away from it. So at the moment, I've got it at far because my desk is in between us. And then you can change the tone as well, so you can do from dark to natural and bright. So the natural is just like your voice as it is. Dark is what I've got on now. So if anyone thinks I've got a deep voice, sorry about that. I'm using the dark mode, but I can demo it quickly. Actually, if I go, because it's real time as well. So this is now natural mode. I don't know if you can hear the difference there. And then if you go into bright, so bright sort of like basically makes everything a bit high pitch, what? And also changes, make sure that it's just my voice, like you can hear the clarity in the voice. But dark mode, which is what I've put it back on now, would be what radio presenters would use in a radio studio. It's like it makes your voice a lot more authoritative, like...
Sounds warm. Sounds a lot warmer. Yeah, you could hear those. Yeah, you could hear you clicking between those. Yeah, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
But yeah, that's what I've had for a bit now. And I did a review on it on my YouTube. So if you want to check it out, it's right there.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, Gadgets Boy on YouTube. Yeah, very, very active, man. Yeah, man. It sounds good. Sounds good. I'd like to have a go on it as well, because we do use Shure microphones here, and I've used them for years, actually. So back when I was doing DJing and stuff like that, they were kind of like the go-to industry leader, like, you know, Shure SM58. SM58 was like the club mic that we'd use, you know, put it in a bag, it could take a beating up and it sound good. And then SM7Bs is what we use here when we're doing pods and stuff. But nice. The MV7 looks like they're trying to move towards that range of microphone that is, let's say, more affordable, more podcast friendly as well, because for example the SM7B is a great mic, but it takes some fiddling with if you don't know what you're doing. Like, but if you do know what you're doing, it's an easy way out of the box. It sounds like the MV7 sounds like a really, really good microphone, and I'd like to get my hands on it.
You bang on there. Like when I spoke to them during the briefing, they said that as well. Like with the SM7B, a lot of people what their feedback was, if you don't know what you were doing with it, it just means you don't really get the best audio quality. So they've made this as simple as possible. It's so straightforward. Even the software that comes with it.
Yeah, man.
It's just straightforward, and you can change auto level if you don't want to tweak anything, or you can go into manual and change some more settings there as well. But yeah, it's pretty slick.
Nice. Yeah, definitely the one, man.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sounds real good. So what else have we got to talk about? Speaking of tech stuff, actually, Rhodes sent me some leads and stuff the other day, actually. Right. I spoke about that. Again, I think the key to podcasting is, and I'm someone who loves audio, yeah, is not, the key is not being an absolute, like, not making it a challenge for you, for your customers when they use stuff. Do you know what I mean? So they can make the best content. And with podcasting, I feel like the whole reason it's blown up is because people can access equipment and kit and record stuff that's of a decent quality in their house. So Rode have kind of tried to do that with their products over the years as well. So, you know, obviously the Rodecaster Pro is a thing, you know, it's a big deal. It's a desk that we use here at the studio. We've spoken about it here a lot, but they've also released some leads as well. I'll go through them super quick because they've got a TRRS lead, which is basically a lead that helps you connect your mobile phone to the desk. Cool, whatever. They've got some identification rings, which just means that you know which mic is plugged into which part of the desk. They're like these little color-coded things. They're cool. Giving you some little jack adapters. They're cool. But what I do like is they've given me this thing called a DC USB 1. And it basically means that I can take this desk, which is really, you know, can make some studio quality output on it. I can take my microphones and I can power my desk with a USB hub now. So, not a USB hub, sorry, a power bank. So you can now take this podcast studio on the road with you. So I could, like, for example, say, for example, me and you wanted to go out on the road and record a podcast, like maybe me, yourself and Gadgets John. If we were doing like something with MV7s, we need, you know, a hub to plug all the microphones into and to record them, right? Mm-hmm, or sure. We need to make sure we have the technology. But with this kit here, I could just take a power bank, the Rode mixing desk, a couple of mics, plug it in, and we'd have studio quality sound. Do you know what I mean? Right. Straight away, on the go, which is quite cool, quite nice.
I mean, that's such a cool setup, the way you just described it.
Should we do it? Let's do it.
Yeah, for real. Do the road show. Get out to kill an hour on road.
The road show. I like it. Anyway, yeah, so that's how me and Tommy have been killing time in the world recently. I mean, there's so much just going on out there, as per usual. You've said a few things that you wanted to discuss recently. I mean, there's iPhone 13 leaks and rumours. You're usually really across them, bro.
You know what? This is the first time I've probably sat back a bit from the leaks and rumours. But again, you can't really get away from it when it comes to social media, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there's been lots of rumours flying around, like a new chip, the new A15 chip. They reckon this, well, as always, it's 5-nanometer process. Some are saying you're expecting the sort of performance leap that you get with like the M1 Mac that we've seen already. Smaller notch is flying around, but I don't know if that will be a reality, to be honest, because Apple are quite stubborn when it comes to these things. Mm-hmm. Bigger battery. Again, battery hasn't really been an issue on the iPhone 12 Pro. I think, actually, I lie. It barely lasts me a day, to be honest. So if they can sort out that battery, that would be really nice. I'm trying to think of what else they can do to it. Maybe Wi-Fi 6E for faster and, you know, performance and stability when it comes to Wi-Fi connectivity. I think the biggest thing that people are asking for is 120 hertz refresh rate on the screen side of things. So like gamers who thinks Android are smashing it with 120 hertz gaming, like on the Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra, for example, people are looking forward to that on the iPhone 13. But to be honest, again, Apple are quite stubborn, so if they don't see that as a necessity, they won't, and they'll give you a really good marketing led reason why it's not necessary.
Yeah, they are the marketing wizards though, man. Absolute Wizards, man. It's absolute, like, do you know what it is, though? I have to say this, like, what Apple have shown me again and again, though, is it's not always what you have, it's how you package it. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
For example, and I think there's good, obviously, there's positives and negatives to it. For those who want the best out there, I would always say technology-wise, if you want the best phone, the best camera on your phone, whatever, I'd say Apple isn't really always in the conversation. I know there's been some outliers, great video this time around. But if you want something that is maybe slightly easier to use if you're not that tech savvy, I feel like they've got the kind of, you know, they've got the beginner market, you know what I mean? If somebody wants to take iPhone photography or they want a phone that just works, is decent, I think they've kind of got that market cornered. For them, I feel like Apple's motto, I always say, is there should be, it just works. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just
works. Yeah.
And I get it. It's like, for example, with the microphone stuff, it's like, I love an SM7B, like I said, but you know, it takes some audio processing. If I'm somebody who's not into that, it might be long for me to get something to make sure that the sound sounds right, get a preamp, whatever. I just want it to work. Do you know what I mean? I want to get busy with recording my podcast instead of fiddling around with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very true. I think you're right. That ease of use is something that people buy into when it comes to Apple product in general. And like, it's the new iPhone 12 Pro is probably one of the strongest ones they've made as well. Like, I've dropped that thing so many times and it's still, like, considering the kind of drops that I've done, it's still standing. It looks good. It looks fine. I don't have in a case. I hate cases.
Yeah. You're so brave, bruv. Whenever I see you, Tommy, oh, I'm just like, bro, Tommy, allow that, man. Put a case on it. You're like, no, I like to go raw.
I always do it for a bit. I'd put a case on it for, I don't know, for like a week, like the first couple of weeks or something that I have it. And then eventually I take it off and it's like having a new phone again. And you're like, oh my God. And then, yeah, it's one of those things. I don't do cases.
Hilarious, man. Hilarious. But yeah, you know, it's one of those ones, man. In terms of the 13, though, what would you like to have? What's the most important thing to you? I'm gonna take the mic, actually. Apart from battery, because I feel like all of us are like, give me better battery. I just want better battery.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. On a phone, I think it'd be the camera. Like, if my phone can shoot some amazing photos or videos, and you know, it's stable, I'd be happy. I think they already do that. Like, a lot of them already do that. So I'm not really complaining about camera quality at the minute. It's more battery life.
Battery life you want, innit? Yeah, 100%.
That's it, man.
100%.
That's it.
All right, cool. All right, that's the phone world. I mean, crypto stuff, you talk about crypto online. You're somebody who's quite open about investing in cryptocurrency. There's been a bit of talk about it recently in terms of it continuing to kind of go up alongside other tech giants like Tesla as well, in terms of their stock going up. Where are we at with cryptocurrency? In fact, for somebody who, me, I'm not as savvy of cryptocurrency, I understand a bit about blockchain. What is the hype about cryptocurrency?
I think the basis of it is just the fact that it's not controlled by the banks. And it's like, when you get one of them, you're basically in control of it. It's secure, it's encrypted. So your transactions are encrypted, which means people do use it for all kind of different reasons. But I think that's the main thing. People just want to break out of the banks telling you what the value is and stuff like that. But with crypto, the value could go up, the value could go down anytime. And that's some of the beauty of what crypto is.
Yeah, I hear that. And as somebody that's invested, I mean, I presume you're doing all right in the moment. You're not struggling with cryptocurrencies. You're not seeing a bad day.
I think it depends. Everyone's feeling the hit at the moment when it comes to stocks and shares and crypto in general. But I think it's a long term thing for me. So I barely look at it. I don't even know. I haven't looked at it in a while. Just because I'm just like, if you look at it every day, you're going to depress yourself looking at the charts, just going up and down with crypto, because Elon Musk tweets something about it and boom, it goes up or down. You don't know. So you can't keep looking at it. But I think if you're one of those people who managed to get it when it was like a really low price, even at £700, for example, you're lucky, because you'll never lose, basically. So I can't imagine crypto, like Bitcoin value going back all the way back there. I think it's like on £40,000 plus at the minute. I don't even know on top of my head for one Bitcoin. But what's great about it is, though, everyone can still get into it. Like, you can buy bits of it. You don't have to buy a whole coin.
Yeah, you don't have to buy. Yeah, you don't have to spend 40k on getting a whole coin. You can get a little bit and get involved.
You can get £50 worth.
Exactly. I would say with investing, like, if you don't know about something, like, try and read up as much as possible and just try a little bit. Like, I always say investing is like smart gambling. Some people that know, you know, football's ins and outs, they can make money every single week betting on the football. But as somebody who doesn't know football, I might just be like, yeah, let me just put a tenner on Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? Not, that's not going to be my last £10, because if it's my last £10 that I need to eat or pay bills, maybe it's time for me to not invest that. Maybe it's time for me to use that for eating and paying bills. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't bet on football. Like you said, I don't understand it. That I like football. I love watching it for the entertainment, but I'm not fully in it in the sense that I'm not reading news about it every day, or, you know, studying the team, seeing their formation change and tactics change and blah, 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 week in, week out, to be able to go, actually, if so-and-so is playing next week, that we're looking to score 2-1, it's going to be a 2-1 game kind of thing. Yeah. To then bet on that, I don't understand it that well enough to do that.
To score first.
Yeah, all that stuff. I don't follow it well enough to do that. So, yeah, I'd never touch it. But things where like crypto or like stocks and stuff, I tend to sit down and just read about these companies and see their financials and see their projections and stuff like that, enough to go, actually, that would be worth a good investment. And then also monitoring what's going on around the world.
Yeah.
That might affect those things. And yeah, just go from there and pick wisely. So yeah. I think the key thing is to just do your research on each thing before you get into it, and then don't spend money that 100%. You can't. That if it's like your savings, don't put it into it. But if it's like your nan gave you a spare £500 somewhere, then, and you're not going to cry about losing £500, then why not put it put it all on Dogecoin?
Put it all on Dodge. Don't put it all on Dodge. Another thing that Bitcoin is doing, or should we say like cryptocurrency in general, but I'm going to focus on Bitcoin, is it's using a lot of electricity. So mining is the process of creating a new Bitcoin by using a computational puzzle. So it's like necessarily to maintain the ledger of transactions upon which the Bitcoin is based. Basically, it's a very sophisticated way of making sure the Bitcoin is made, and also it is distributed in a way that is safe for all parties, whether you're spending it or keeping it. Now, miners have had to use quite complex computers, more and more complex, with more processing power, to mine Bitcoin by helping to make their computer part of the process which creates the blockchain. But apparently it's using so much energy at the moment, it's over 121.36 terawatt hours a year. So basically, Bitcoin is using more electricity than Argentina at the moment.
Wow.
Crazy, right? Which is using 121 of the same measurement. And UAE is using 113. So that's absolutely crazy that Bitcoin is using so much electricity, which kind of leads me to kind of thinking, like, is the next kind of step with Bitcoin to be able to do like sustainable Bitcoin mining?
Yeah, it's in terms of its green credentials, it's one of the lowest at the bottom of the pile. Like, it's really bad. But when we say that, no one's comparing it to how much electricity and how much waste is involved in actual fiat money. Like, whether it's storing money, wherever they're storing it, how much it costs to store the money where it is, transporting money, that's bad for the environment as well. The paper itself that's been used, for example, it's not like they recycle it, like per se, they chop them up and stuff for security reasons.
Yeah.
And then, I won't go into it, but like things that people roll up money for. There's so many different, sides to it, you know, like what people don't really touch on that, but people that are Bitcoin crypto haters, they will come up with all these stats that's very biased. So,
Yeah. I just find it fascinating that it uses so much energy, man. I mean, do you think it could be possible to set up your own little Bitcoin mine, which is solar powered?
No, because like it's the equipment that it uses to mine the coins are very power hungry. So like, for example, I don't know if you saw the NVIDIA RTX, one of the latest ones, I think it's 3080. Well, this one of the new ones that they released anyway, that's got... it's like on the affordable side, but it's been used a lot for Bitcoin mining, the GPU itself, and it's power hungry, as you can imagine. But I think Nvidia realized that that's what people are doing with it, so they're taking out parts of it that allows people to use it for Bitcoin mining, which is quite fascinating. So you can buy it, it's powerful for gaming and stuff and coding, but they put the parts of it that makes it optimized for Bitcoin mining, they've taken that bit out, so people can stop, you know, like scalpers can stop buying them in bulk just to do these things. But to be honest, people that are serious about it don't care about these things, they'll buy the proper stuff that they need either way, so because they'll make the money back easily.
It's crazy though, isn't it, like that this is what we've got to, like people are using, you know, by scalping all of these, and the value of these have gone up so much as well. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, man. All right, yeah. Also, another thing that you said you want to talk about is obviously the new e-tron, back on electric cars, but the new Audi e-tron GT. Woo!
Man, that thing's a beauty. Have you seen all the colours flying around?
I've seen the green. I don't know. I've seen the green colour. I don't know. I know it's probably not just called green, but it's like this kind of... Is it unfair if I call it a moss green? It's darker than that, isn't it?
It's like a military khaki.
Yeah, it's a military green, yeah.
Green, yeah. It looks so good.
Yeah, the new e-tron.
That's the car you want to take to the Autobahn and just floor it.
Yeah, yeah. The Audi e-tron was a nice drive, but this seems like they've really given it, they've added some spice to that sauce, isn't it?
Yeah, like the RS version of it, I think you're looking at 637 brake horsepower in a pure electric car. Jesus, like, yeah. And to be fair, and even with all that power, the range is like 280 miles, which I, in my humble opinion, I think that's decent for a powerful car that you're going to be putting your foot down every now and then just to get the feel for it. Like, it does 0 to 62 in 3.3 seconds. Top speed, 155 miles per hour. So,
yeah.
It's a beast of a car. I can't wait for them to have it here.
Yeah, the stats are looking good. I think, Tommy, when we get our hands on it, me and you, I have a feeling that the way we're going to drive it means that we might not get that kind of 200 and whatever plus. I think we're going to be closer to like the 200 mark on the mileage, the way we're going to be driving that round, because it looks like something that is really, really a fun drive. Inside it looks nice already. The outside looks beautiful. I want to see how that translates to real life as well, because, you know, you never know. And you know what they've done? They've actually moved the screen that we spoke about. They've moved it down a bit on the inside of the car.
Right.
Remember we mentioned that about the Q2. They've actually moved it into a position which looks a lot more friendly. It looks a lot more attractive where they've placed it in the car. It's like a bit further down in the center console.
Yeah, that's something I expect from them anyway when it comes to any of these like coupe cars. Like, they always have it there. It's usually their hatchbacks and the SUVs or the compact SUVs where it's a bit, it sticks out in the middle, and then they move it. Like the new A3, they've moved it down as well to the middle. Rather than a screen sticking out. But yeah, it's, oh man, I can't. There's a video online of someone doing the 0 to 60 miles per hour. I think it's by a publication called Road and Track .com, and you can just see it launch and go. It's incredible. It just goes. And it's such a heavy car as well. You have to bear that in mind. And it's still being able to do that weight, shift that way like that. It's crazy.
Where are we taking it when we get our hands on it, though? That's the question.
I think, bearing in mind, it's still electric. So it's going to be I'll take it to the New Forest. I think that's a safe bet. Now that I know where there's a fast charge near it on the way back. So, yeah.
There you go. Do you know what I've noticed about electric cars as well? You're only as fast as the charger that is available to you as well. So you could have a car that's ridiculously fast, but one thing that needs to happen in this country is we need to get a better network of fast chargers.
Absolutely.
Let me. Right, anything else you want to talk to before we wrap up the show today?
Have you seen that Jack Dorsey was selling a tweet and someone put a bid in for like millions?
No, that's a... really?
So this is all like NFT thing, or I don't know how people are saying it, Nifty or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's part of a Ethereum blockchain.
Right.
And basically it's a way to sell to digitally sell a piece of art. So like it could be music, it could be a drawing, it could be a video. And like, I think it's Grimes sold a video or something for like 360k or something like that. Don't quote me on it, but a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And then someone else sold something else. And I think Logan Paul made like, the other day, made like 5 million or something like that. Like in a few hours, if not less, selling one of these digital things. And so Jack Dorsey was like, well, maybe I could sell a tweet. And lo and behold, he put up a tweet just saying, let me load it up. Yeah, it says, just setting up my Twitter, which is, I think, what the first tweet was.
Yeah.
When Twitter launched back in the day or something. And someone's made $2.5 million
what?
Bid for it, which is the highest as it stands. I don't know how long they can hold the auction for that kind of stuff, but what I don't get is, what do you do with that tweet? Like, do you own it? Like, is that now yours, or I don't get it.
Yeah, what do you actually do? I've got to wrap my head around it, because I get it. Like, Grimes sold some art, right?
Yeah.
Like, Grimes sold art. You could sell something that's like kind of a thing, but what do you do with the tweet? Like, do you own the tweet?
I mean, some articles I read are saying that basically you're buying an autograph. Because that tweet by Jack Dorsey, he's basically signed that. That's his tweet. So if you buy it, you're basically buying his signature, saying, yeah, he did this and I own it. But I'm not sure how the ownership works in terms of, if I look at that tweet now, I can screenshot it, I can save it, I can retweet it, I can do whatever I want with it, right?
So exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, you could, yeah. I mean, online now, it's very hard to own something that's a picture right now, isn't it?
Yeah, because even the platforms that you're sharing it on, they're not yours. And they have their own policies. Like Instagram, for example, they have some sort of rights to images that you post on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. But it's such a funny time to be alive.
It is. What a time to be alive, man. Yeah. All right. I'll keep an eye on that, because I was trying to get my head around that, but I was just like, okay. Because a digital file can be copied as many times as you want. But anyway, look, let's get back to that next time. Should we keep talking about that next time then?
Yeah.
All right, cool. You're putting out loads of great content at the moment on Instagram, including the Jaguar that you were in, actually, before we go. Oh, can we just talk about that? That looked beautiful.
Oh, man, it's such a, like the Jaguar F-Type. Basically, they, in Sorrento Yellow, they posted about it a while ago, and I saw that color and I was just like, man, this will look beautiful to take pictures of.
Mm.
And I literally just replied to the tweet being like, get me in that car, please. And a couple of days later, I got an email from the PR and it was like, oh yeah, we'll probably get hold of this if that's something you want. And I was like, yes, please, absolutely. But they had none in the UK, so they've had to ship one in from Global. And the guy turned up in a big lorry with the car. And just looking at the car, I was just like, man, this is such a beautiful car.
Yeah.
And people stopped by to take pictures with it parked up in front of the house. And I was just like, oh wow, this is drawing attention. But it's such a fast car, it sounds amazing. Yeah, I love everything about it, apart from, like, I think the back of it looks much nicer than the front though, but all in all, it's a really nice car.
Yeah, makes one heck of a sound when it's taking off as well, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, the videos that you put online, man. And if we do want to check out everything you're doing, can you just tell everyone where we can check you out, bro?
Yeah, I'm at Gadgets Boy, GadgetsBoy, on all platforms.
Yeah, man. Definitely make sure you check out his Insta as well, because he's always posting stuff. Oh, and Twitter as well, man. Very entertaining. I'm at Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy. And How to Kill an Hour on all social medias as well, man. Thanks for coming on the show, bro. Let's not leave it too long before you pop on next time.
Anytime, man. Always a pleasure, bro.
Appreciate that, man. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.